Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative committed to helping employers self-fund by providing data and insights to manage their health plans. Info is at the-alliance.org. Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, a community where students are invited to learn actively, lead courageously, and live purposefully for a lifetime of impact. More about Luther College at luther.edu.
It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk about the bills that Governor Walker signed into law today dealing with domestic violence.
Public speaking remains one of the most dreaded activities for people today, despite the fact that it's not life-threatening and tends to be over pretty quickly. But what if you want to do more than get over your fear of public speaking? What if you really want to shine or communicate big ideas?
Our next guest examined more than 500 different TED Talks, the viral idea-spreading 18-minute talks from leaders in the fields of technology, entertainment, design, and more. Among the many TED Talks, some of the most influential have been watched millions of times and inspired, enlightened, and educated people around the world.
Carmine Gallo joins us now to share his insights on why some TED Talks bring down the house. He's a communications coach and former anchor and correspondent for CNN and CBS. He's the author of the new book, Talk Like TED, The 9 Public Speaking Secrets of the World's Top Minds. Carmine, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. What a fun topic.
Well, why does it matter how well we do, you know, when we're trying to convey our ideas to people and we have to do it through public speaking? Why does it matter?
Yeah, I think ideas are, I like to say, the currency of the 21st century. So you're only as valuable as your ideas. And the ability to persuasively communicate your ideas, to get those ideas across, to get those ideas to spread, as the TED conference likes to say, is really one of the most valuable tools that you can have to create movements, to spark movements, to inspire people, to back your agenda, or to even get behind your ideas. Billionaire Warren Buffett was actually giving a small class in front of some MBA students. And he said, and this was great. It's actually on YouTube. He actually told them, "I'll give you $100,000 for 10% of your future earnings, but if you're a good public speaker, I'll give you $150,000." So he understood. He understands the power for whether it's entrepreneurs or business leaders, or people who are just involved in real change, who want to make big changes in the world, that they have to be able to communicate their ideas persuasively and in a way that engages us and touches us and inspires all of us.
Well, you watched about 500 of the best TED Talks. What was that experience like for you, watching so many of these great public speakers?
Well, I'll have to be honest, they're not all great. Just because you've actually given a TED Talk doesn't mean that they are the most fabulous presentations. Because as you know, and I'm sure many of your listeners know, that there are what are called the smaller sister TEDx talks. And those are given in 145 countries. So I did analyze about 500 TED Talks, and many of them were categorized as the best in some way. So they were either the most inspiring or the ones that had the most views, things like that. And what I found is that all of the great TED Talks, in terms of how are we going to define it, let's define great as the most viral, the ones that got like 20 million views, which is pretty extraordinary for a 18-minute presentation. The best ones, the most viral, are those presentations that have three components. They're emotional, which means that they touch my heart before they reach my head. They touch me emotionally. We could talk about why that is. They're also novel. They introduce things that are surprising, new or unexpected, and they're certainly memorable. So there are a number of different ways that people can make their presentation memorable.
And I think we've got a case in point for you here, Ken Robinson, which I believe, at least as of my Google today, is the most watch TED Talk millions of times. Sir Ken Robinson talking about why he thinks schools are killing creativity. And we have a clip here of one of them, so we can illustrate what we're talking about a bit. Here he is telling a story about a school play with four-year-olds playing the Three Wise Men.
The three boys came in, little four-year-olds with tea towels on their heads, and they put these boxes down. The first boy said, "I bring you gold." And the second boy said, I bring you mayor. And the third boy said, Frank sent this. What these things have in common, you see, is that kids will take a chance. You know, if they don't know, they'll have a go. Am I right? They're not frightened of being wrong. Now, I don't mean to say that being wrong is the same thing as being creative. What we do know is, if you're not prepared to be wrong, you will never come up with anything original. If you're not prepared to be wrong. And by the time they get to be adults, most kids have lost that capacity. They have become frightened of being wrong. And we run our companies this, by the way. We stigmatize mistakes. And we're now running national education systems where mistakes are the worst thing you can make.
And a clip there from the most watched TED Talk with Sir Ken Robinson talking about creativity in education. Carmine, what do you hear when you hear that clip?
One, I hear humor. Lighten up. Some of the best TED Talks are funny. Rod Martin, who's a psychologist, said that over the past century, a sense of humor has become a highly prized personality characteristic. And so you see this in many of the TED Talks. I actually saw this in a Bill Gates TED Talk when he was speaking about the effects of malaria on children. How can you inject humor into such a serious topic? And yet, if you can find a way, not of telling a joke, the most interesting thing I just heard from that Ken Robinson clip is that he doesn't start with a joke. You know, he doesn't talk about, hey, two guys walk into a bar. Let me start with a joke. It's more anecdotal humor. Much of Ken Robinson's 18-minute talk has to do with himself, so a lot of it is a humorous observation about himself or his life or about short stories that he heard. And so he introduces humor, and then he ties it right back to his main theme, which is, in order to be successful, you have to be prepared to be wrong and to accept that and to be okay with that. So in terms of Ken Robinson's talk, we can learn something from all the best TED Talks. From Ken Robinson's, I learned that you have to have a sense of humor, not telling a joke, but at least to elicit a smile on somebody's face. He also did something interesting, too. It's called unexpectedness. The best, the most viral talks are those that shock you in some way, that deliver something surprising or unexpected. Why schools kill creativity? Well, that doesn't make sense. Schools foster creativity, don't they? So simply by having the theme, schools kill creativity, it automatically perks your attention. It grabs your attention and you want to know more because it actually jars you out of your preconceived notions. So there's that element of unexpectedness in his theme. Again, these are very common themes that do seem to crop up in some of the best presentations.
Now, in terms of using a moment where a jaw might drop, something that's novel, what if your idea is not necessarily something that has that component? Is there a way to talk about your idea that could make it sound new again and to breathe fresh life into it?
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there, which is breathing fresh life into it. Because a lot of ideas aren't necessarily new or earth-shaking. We're not always introducing a groundbreaking idea or even a product that's going to revolutionize the world. But there are certainly ways of packaging ideas into something that's fresh. As long as the human brain can see something introduced in a new and novel way. And that's why Bill Gates actually has been working really hard on this. He has to deliver pretty complex information. And a lot of it is just updates. Here's how we're doing with reducing childhood deaths caused by malaria. A lot of these are updates. And he has really thought through, how do I communicate ideas in a way that really grabs people's attention? And they talk about my presentation. I know this is a fact. So Bill Gates in 2009 gave a TED Talk that went viral, and people still remember it to this day, where he released a jar of mosquitoes on the TED stage. And he was making the point that malaria is caused by mosquitoes. I happen to have some right here. And he opened the jar and he let a few mosquitoes you know, roam around the auditorium. Well, they were literally only a few mosquitoes, but everybody started talking about it like Bill Gates released a swarm of mosquitoes. I like that metaphor, the whole thing about releasing mosquitoes. Obviously, you're not going to do that in your next presentation, but you have to think about how am I going to take this subject matter and make it unique, interesting, surprising, shocking, something that people don't expect. They did not expect Bill Gates in the middle of a PowerPoint discussion on malaria to release mosquitoes. So what is your mosquito type of event? What is that one way of creating a demonstration, maybe introducing a product or a way of talking about that product or introducing a person that the audience did not expect you to do? It could be something very simple. It could just be a simple story. But it has to be something unexpected, fresh, novel, and surprising.
We're talking right now with Carmine Gallo. He is a communications coach, former anchor and correspondent for CNN and CBS, and he's the author of the new book, Talk Like TED, The 9 Public Speaking Secrets of the World's Top Minds. And we're learning now about what goes into great public speaking. And we'd love to hear from you on this. What most intimidates you about public speaking, and what is the best, most persuasive talk that you've ever heard, maybe the most jaw-dropping talk, and how did you yourself get better at public speaking? Share your stories at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about the best TED Talks and what they can teach us about public speaking. TED Talks being the groundbreaking viral series of 18-minute talks covering technology, entertainment, design, and more. We're talking with Carmine Gallo, communications coach, former anchor, and correspondent for CNN and CBS. His new book is called Talk Like TED, The 9 Public Speaking Secrets of the World's Top Minds. And we're curious about your public speaking moments. What is the most persuasive talk that you've ever heard? Do you think it matters to be able to convey your ideas in a way that inspires people, energizes people, and gets across your own passion about something? And why do you think we're so intimidated about public speaking? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first call. Now we've got Marcus with us in Green Bay. Hi, Marcus.
Hello. I have a question or comment about public speaking for newscasters, in particular the weather people. Now they're a lot of them, especially in the morning news shows, they're doing these full body shots where you can see the whole person starting out the weather. And every time they start it out, when they go to that weather person, they take three or four steps forward towards the camera, and it's like everyone does exactly the same thing. And I just wondered, it just seems so staged. It seems like it's this basic 101 rule. The first thing you do is you approach the camera or something. I don't know.
Gotcha. I'm glad you brought that up, Marcus. It gets at the idea that you write about this, Carmine, being authentic, having authenticity. How much does that matter? And what about the weatherman thing?
Oh, absolutely. I was a newscaster myself. So absolutely. Marcus is right. They bring in consultants. And what do the consultants do? You must look a certain way and make sure that you're turning toward your co-anchor while she's reading or he's reading, and turn this way and act this way. And what happens? It all starts looking the same. It's all stilted and robotic. That's why people sort of poke fun at the television news types. You know, and hey, I was one of them. And I understand, because it all starts to look very much the same. You played a clip by an educator, Ken Robinson, who brought down the house. He was very different. It's authentic. It's natural to who he is. The hardest part about writing a public speaking book is you do not want people to read these examples, watch the videos, and then try to be like somebody else. That's the toughest part. If you try to act like somebody who you have seen on a TED Talk, you lose your authenticity. So you have to take some of the best techniques, like storytelling. If you know that people connect emotionally with your audience through the power of story, you can tell stories that are authentic to yourself. But the minute you try to act like somebody else is the minute you lose that genuine connection with your audience. And that's the trickiest part about teaching public speaking.
But don't you have to practice a lot to get it right? You should probably practice, you know, before an empty room. And doesn't that bleed some of the authenticity out of it?
Okay, you bring up another quite complex event. I recommend practicing as much as possible. And a lot of people think, well, that's counterintuitive, because if you practice too much, then you sound stilted, you sound robotic. I found, and maybe this is one of the big surprises for me, I found it to be quite the opposite. Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor became a viral sensation when she talked about her stroke of insight on a TED stage. Oprah then discovered her, and you know, she's become a best-selling author and a very popular personality. She told me that she practiced her TED Talk 200 times.
Wow.
200. When is the last time you practiced a presentation or a pitch? 200 times, let alone 10 times.
Yeah,
most
of
us don't do that. And what happens, though? What happens is when you can practice, it frees you up. It gives you confidence. It helps you overcome that stage fright, because you've already done this 200 times. You know exactly what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and then you can start focusing on your delivery and your body language and the way you deliver that information. So rather than becoming robotic or stilted and stale because you practiced it, you've over-rehearsed it, I find, at least with some of the best presenters and public speakers, that the more they practice, the more comfortable they are in their skin, and it really allows them to come alive. So it sounds counterintuitive.
So you're saying practicing kind of sets you free?
It certainly does, because so many of us are afraid of public speaking, and that's very natural. Warren Buffett, who I mentioned at the beginning of the program, Warren Buffett said he was terrified of public speaking when he was younger. So many of us are. There are great pastors who preach in front of tens of thousands of people on weekends who have said they were terrified of public speaking. How do you get past it? You've got to do it like anything else. You have to practice it and do it as much as you can. Most of us don't have the opportunity to give a PowerPoint presentation 10 times a day, right? If you did, you wouldn't be nervous the next time you gave a presentation. So I really think that the more you practice, the more comfortable you are with your story, the more confidence it gives you. I know it's helped me, and it's helped a lot of people who I talk to.
Now, something else you're big on that we're already talking about it, the passion that a lot of the best TED Talks convey. And yet a lot of us are kind of locked down when it comes to revealing our emotions. That feels vulnerable. How do you get yourself to a point where you feel comfortable sharing something that's probably personal and sharing a raw emotion with a big group of people?
Yeah, I think you need to ask yourself, what is it that I'm passionate about? Which is a lot different than what do I do, or what is my idea, or what is my product that I'm trying to talk about today. What you're passionate about typically goes toward how your product, service, or idea is going to help people live a better life. And I think you need to be open and vulnerable and transparent when it comes to that. I learned a lot from Sheryl Sandberg, the Facebook COO. And Sheryl Sandberg gave a TED Talk several years ago, I think it was 2010, and that TED Talk launched a best-selling book, which was Lean In, and that book launched a movement. I argue that the book, actually it was 2012 when she gave that talk. I argue that if she had not been passionate and vulnerable and told personal stories about herself, it never would have led to a book. It never would have led to this movement where millions of women are trying to balance, their career and their personal life by leaning in, right? I don't think that movement would have started if it had not been for Sheryl Sandberg's ability, right before she went on stage, to ask herself, what is it that I really want to tell people? I have to get beyond the data, beyond the numbers, and I have to really let people into my own story. And she told many personal stories, which she was a little reluctant, and she admitted this. She was reluctant to tell personal stories. She just wanted to deliver data.
And speaking of personal stories, I want to get one more caller in before we have to let you go. Real quickly, sure. Mark in Oconomowoc. Hi, you're next.
Hi, I do want to just put the dovetail into what you were talking about and practicing, and I was just nodding my head, and anybody ever needed to get the practice in for public speaking, is get down to your local community theater. It certainly will open up your abilities, and when you were talking about practicing and doing the same thing over many times, it works very well, because then you have an understanding of telling that story and feeling confident and comfortable.
Okay, great suggestion, Mark, and a way of getting that practice in. What do you think about doing theater, Carmine?
I have a theater background. I knew when I was in college, actually, I went to UCLA, and I knew I needed to be much more comfortable in front of groups. So I enrolled in theater. So it doesn't surprise me or shock me that many of the great presenters that I have interviewed, not only for TED, but you know, for other books as well, the best public speakers are those who have a little ham in them. You know, they have an experience with either being in theater, or some great speakers, you know, they used to go to church and they learn from great Baptist ministers. There's a guy named Brian Stevenson who gave the longest standing ovation of any TED Talk. And he told me that he learned from going to church on Sundays when he used to watch Baptist ministers. So it's very interesting how people learn how to become persuasive speakers in business or in any other field. They typically learn from studying other presenters or speakers in different fields. So whether it comes from theater or some of these other fields, it's a great way to learn.
We've gotten some great ideas. Carmine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you bet. Thank you for inviting me.
We've been talking to Carmine Gallo, communications coach, former anchor and correspondent, and the author of Talk Like TED, The 9 Public Speaking Secrets of the World's Top Minds.